the Lord Jesus as his shepherd. He's declaring this relationship that he has with Jesus. This week I've been reading a book on our founding fathers, men like George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, Samuel Adams, John Jay, and others. What I find fascinating is that many of them were very religious, but some of them confessed that they didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They saw the value of religion, but they did not know of a relationship. And so my question to you this morning is, can you honestly say what you sang, what we read? The Lord is my shepherd. And if you noticed in John, Jesus says, my sheep know me and I know them. Did you notice that? Did you hear where Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep? In that time, they would have a place where the sheep would be at night, but it didn't have a door. The door was the shepherd. The shepherd slept at the door of the sheepfold. Jesus is the one who guards us. He's the door that we enter and exit from the sheepfold. Jesus is the shepherd. The question is he your shepherd? Are you following him to the celestial city, the New Jerusalem? In the bulletin, you'll find an outline, of a short outline of the main point, and that is David effectively communicates the living relationship that exists between our Lord and his beloved people. Our life can be likened to a difficult journey. Through this psalm, we are encouraged to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he uses the picture of a shepherd and sheep in Palestine, in a semi-arid desert. Not much different than North Dakota in many ways. The grass, is the grass still green or has it already died? Has it turned brown yet? I don't know. I haven't been watching. If it isn't, it's going to, won't it? If we don't get rain, it'll turn brown, right? And so the shepherd had to continually move the sheep, both because, number one, the grazing, he would move them up into the higher elevations where the grass was still available. The other thing was that sheep are stupid. Sheep will eat, sheep and goats both will eat until they destroy the roots of the grass and destroy the pasture and turn it into dirt. And so the shepherd has to constantly keep them moving in order for there to be food later on. And so the shepherd is constantly with them and moving. And so keep that in mind as we look at the psalm. What I find interesting, and I gave you a homework assignment for those of you that were here. And what was the homework assignment? To read Psalm 21, 22, 23, and 24. Psalm 20 is a prayer for the Christ's victory or the Messiah's victory. So Psalm 20 prays for Jesus to be victorious. Psalm 21 celebrates the victory of the Messiah. Psalm 22 focuses on how the victory of the Messiah was accomplished and applied. Psalm 22, the first verse begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? When did Jesus quote Psalm 22, verse 1? On the cross. As a teacher, he was basically saying, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 22 and consider what is said here. It is an explanation of what's happening right now to me on the cross. On one level. On another level, he's actually experiencing the separation from the Father that you and I deserve because of our sin. So Psalm, and then at the second half of Psalm 22, there's a change, right? In verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. See that? You have answered my cry. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. There is a shift from suffering to glory because God has answered the cry of the Messiah. And victory is then declared in the rest of the psalm. And now we come to our text, Psalm 23. And it's focusing on the Lord as my shepherd. Oh, just for those who were wondering, Psalm 24 celebrates the Lord as King, the reigning King. And so in the context of Psalm 23, we see the prayer for the victory of the Messiah, victory celebrated, victory accomplished, applied, and now, because of what Jesus has done, we can walk with Him as our shepherd. So Scripture refers to our life as a journey, and that's what we're looking at right now. First point, our relationship with the chief shepherd, verse 1. Who is He? Again, looking at it from David's perspective, who is He? He's my shepherd, but who is He? He's the Lord. He's Jehovah, or Yahweh, however you want to call it. Ultimately, He's a revelation. The revelation is found in Jesus. What is the declaration? This is an interesting thought. What is the declaration, according to the Apostle Paul, written in the book of Philippians, that every person that ever lived will declare concerning Jesus, either willingly or unwillingly? Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He, the one who, even unwillingly, the rebels will confess or declare or acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, is my shepherd, personal. When you say the word my, you're speaking of a possession. These are my glasses. Okay. Although my wife and I share these because we both need them. But they're still mine, right? I have one of my favorite, my prized possession is my Bible. Although it probably needs to be replaced soon. The Lord is my possession. Is that arrogant? No. Why? Because He has established that relationship. What does He say of you if you believe in Jesus? You are mine. Right? He is my beloved and I am His. What does it say in Song of Solomon? His banner over me is love. So who is He? He's the Lord. He's a shepherd. Again, during this time, David was known as the shepherd king. The picture of a king in Israel was that of a shepherd shepherding the people. And to be a shepherd during the time of Jesus was not exactly an honorable thing. Did you know that in a court of law during the time of Jesus that the testimony of a shepherd was not to be honored? They were looked upon as worse than thieves and liars. And yet Jesus identifies Himself as the chief shepherd. Talk about humility, right? My question to you this morning, and I'm going to keep asking that over and over again. So just one question. What about you? Is this your confession? Is Jesus your shepherd? Is Jesus your Lord? And again, one of the things that is almost insulting is what David says that you and I are. You and I are. There's something wrong with that. You are a sheep. Now, why is that insulting? Why is it insulting to be referred to by a sheep? Anybody? Sheep are dumb animals. Okay. And does David know this personally? He grew up as a shepherd. Why are they dumb? Because they do stupid things. They get an itch on their back and they start scratching their back, and the next thing you know, their legs are up and they're stuck in a little hole and they can't get over. And the shepherd has to come over and turn them back. They bite and devour one another. They wander off into dangerous territories. They're afraid of running water. Do you know that? They spook easily is another way of saying that. They are dumb animals. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. What is he saying? I'm a sheep. Isn't that a humbling statement for someone who knows sheep? The Bible refers to our need that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. There's none that does good, no, not one, according to God's standard. We may do good according to other people's standard, but according to God's standard, we are totally unable to please the shepherd. But he loves us anyways, and he knows that we are sheep. So again, is Jesus your shepherd? Do you notice as we were reading in John, and there's so many different verses that I want to call out of that passage. I almost wanted to preach on John 10 this week. I think I have recently. But just look at a couple statements where he says, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's verse 11. And he'll say it over and over and over again. Now stop and think about it. When Jesus said this, did the people understand that he was going to the cross? Did his disciples understand that he was going to the cross? At the time, they banished those thoughts. What is Jesus saying? I'm going to die on the cross for you. I'm going to die on the cross for you. I'm going to give my life for you, sheep. The other thing that's fascinating is these sheep are given to Jesus by the Father. That God, the Father, chose to give to the Son particular known sheep. But he also says, how is it that these are identified? How do you know whether you're a sheep or one of Jesus' sheep? He says, they listen to me. When the shepherds would get together and take the sheep, sometimes they would merge two or three flocks into a sheepfold in the evening for protection. And when it was time in the morning to leave, each shepherd would call out to his sheep. And the sheep that were his knew his voice and followed him. If another shepherd called out, they didn't follow the other shepherd. They followed their shepherd. That's what Jesus is saying here. My sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd of your soul? Notice in verse 1, David makes this amazing, outrageous statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall lack. It doesn't say nothing, but it's implied. I shall lack nothing. There's nothing that I need that he won't provide. Now, notice he doesn't say whatever I want, but my need. The Lord provides for me what I need. I thank God that God doesn't give me everything I want. I'd be in trouble. Anyone ever see It's a Wonderful Life? Remember at the very beginning where the kid is in there and he says, clicks the little thing, I wish for $1 million. Remember that? Do you really want $1 million? Can you manage $1 million? Can $1 million destroy you? Many times it is. They call it the lottery curse. You win a lot of money, you don't know how to manage it. He kills you, literally. The Lord provides my lack. Isn't that, in a sense, what it is to walk by faith? To trust in what I can't do, what God has done for me, what God can do. I'm a guy. I'm a man. Men fix things. I've said this before. I've been married now, 39 years, and I finally am learning that when my wife comes to me with a complaint about something, she doesn't necessarily want me to fix it. She may just want me to listen. And then she decides whether I need to fix it or not. Or we decide. The point is, you can't fix your sin. You can't save yourself. You can't be a good person in the presence of God that is acceptable. You need another. You need Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, okay, we're getting in there. All right, very good. So there's nothing that I lack that I need, not necessarily what I want. The Lord is my shepherd. He provides for me what I need. And notice, from verses 2 through 4, it describes the presence of the shepherd. Notice in verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. But notice that. He brings to me the things that I need. I need rest, I need food, and I need drink. He makes me lie down, rest, where? Places where there's food. In a desert land, places where there's food, and places where there's drink. He provides for my physical and spiritual needs. He nourishes my soul. He goes on to say, He restores my soul. Or you could translate it, life. He restores my life. He is the one who provides that work of life-giving. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again if you're going to enter the kingdom of God. It is by the Spirit, he says, that you are born again. You are regenerated. You have a new life in Christ. And that same Holy Spirit is also given by Jesus, sent from heaven to us to make us more like Jesus, to sanctify us. He is the one that restores our soul. In many ways, this is what the shepherd can't do, the physical shepherd. He can't restore the life of a sheep. But Jesus, our shepherd, can completely. Notice further, it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He it is that leads me in what is right in the sight of God, to walk in a way that is pleasing to God. Yes, my standing is not my own righteousness. What does the Bible say about your righteousness and my righteousness apart from Christ? It is as filthy rags. But yet, the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, and the work of the Holy Spirit making us righteous in His sight. He leads me in the right paths. Furthermore, in this life, there will be difficulties. There will be dangers that we pass through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Again, the picture here is the sheep down in the lowlands being led up into the hills and the higher countries where there's grass when the lowlands is no longer green, bringing them to green pastures. Well, to get there, you have to pass through areas where there's lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, lions and tigers and bears and other wild animals. And so you have to pass through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, to then continue to be fed. But notice the switch there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You see that? All the way before, David was talking about the Lord. But what happens right when he's in the valley of the shadow of death? His eyes are on the Lord, talking to the Lord. You. Not about him. You are with me. Your personal protection is my comfort as I pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Last night, we got word from a friend of ours that his mother passed away. Eight fifty. Dolores has been struggling with health issues for a long time. She was in hospice. And yet what we heard, the testimony was she was at comfort. She was at peace. She was looking forward to going to be with Jesus. She walked through the valley of the shadow of death, literally, and is now with the Lord. Why? She feared no evil. Why? Because the Lord was with her. And then he goes on to say, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me. What was the rod used for by the shepherd? Anybody know? What's that? Actually, the staff was the guide. The rod was to kill the bad guys. The lions and tigers and bears. And actually, David talks about doing that, killing a bear and a lion with his rod. And so the rod was designed to protect or to defend the sheep. But also what was interesting, it was also used to examine the sheep because of their wool if there's a disease. Did you ever hear the phrase being passing under the rod? No, maybe not. But it's the idea that the shepherd would stop and examine each of the sheep and go through all of the wool to see if there's any disease. And then he talks about what he would do to heal it. And so the rod was both designed to protect, and actually in this one author, and I will recommend this book, by the way, if I haven't already, I haven't. If anybody wants a good book on this, it's Psalm 23 by Keller. Anyone ever hear of this book? A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. Excellent little book. If you want to borrow it, you can, but you must return it. But a lot of these insights come from him. He was a shepherd down in South Africa, and he basically develops in this much better than I'm doing. The rod was actually designed to defend and protect, and the staff was designed to guide the sheep. As a matter of fact, Keller talks about watching a shepherd one time walking along with the sheep, and he took the staff, and he just walked along with the staff against the side of the sheep as they walked. And if the sheep started to wander, he just pushed a little bit harder to guide the sheep which way to go. But sometimes he didn't even need to do that. But what did it do to the sheep to be walking along and feeling the shepherd's staff? It was like he was holding that sheep's hand, if it had hands. It was to communicate that I'm here. I am with you. The author says that the rod is the scriptures and the staff is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I agree with that, but it sure sounds good. Let you think about that. The Lord's rod, position of authority, exercised, and staff. A staff was also used if a sheep got stuck in the mud and got stuck falling down into the water. The staff had a hook on it, and he could pick up the sheep. As a matter of fact, the author says that when the sheep are breeding, it was not good to touch a lamb to give it to its mother because the mother would reject it. And so the staff, you could pick up that without touching it and bring it to the mother. The other thing, and this is the hard one, what happens if you had a little lamb that ran off and got in trouble? And he brought him back and it runs off again and is in danger. This is the hardest one. Sometimes a shepherd had to take that rod. Oh, I don't know if I should be saying this. Thinking about Matthew today. The shepherd would take that little lamb and break its leg. And then put a splint on it and bind it up and then carry the lamb around until the leg healed. So that rod and that staff comforts me. I don't know about you, but sometimes discipline from the Lord is painful, but it brings about peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to see that. And so, David declares and glories in the presence of our Lord, the presence of his shepherd, the Lord, through the journeys of life. But then notice in the psalm, we see the third point, and that is his presence at the end of the journey, verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The lands in Israel that higher up in the hills were referred to as the table lands. And so to some degree, there's a reference to being in the higher. There are still enemies there. The other picture is the argument is he's speaking about, he's changing the metaphor to that of a table, a place of eating and drinking. As we are preparing to celebrate the Lord's Supper on a table, so we understand that Jesus prepared a table in the presence of his enemies. We're about to talk about Jesus saying, take and eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance. What was he about to do? Have his body broken, literally, by his enemies. In the presence of enemies. He anoints my head with oil. Oil was designed and used to bring health in sickness, but also as a means of glory. How did someone become the anointed? They were anointed. What were they anointed with? With oil. Right? To become the anointed Messiah, you had to be anointed. Was Jesus anointed? And the answer is yes, by the Holy Spirit, that which oil pointed to. And notice, it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I like literally in the Hebrew, surely goodness and mercy shall run me down and tackle me. God's mercy and goodness run me down and tackle me. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's looking towards heaven, isn't he? The dwelling place of God. The goal of the journey. How many of you have ever read Pilgrim's Progress? You have. The celestial city describes. That's where we're walking toward. Although we are actually there in, well, Paul says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ right now. And also that we gather on the Lord's Day in his presence in heaven. But ultimately, the house of the Lord is a place we're heading, I hope. So again, ask the question, do you know the shepherd? Are you one of his sheep? Is this psalm a confession of your faith? The Lord is my shepherd. Is this psalm ever on your lips when you're going through difficult times? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel right now that I'm going through that for whatever reason. I wonder if Matthew's feeling that right now as he's coming out of surgery. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Well, he's not really walking, is he? He can't walk right now. He broke his leg. But the point is, when I'm in trouble, where do I turn? Where do my eyes go? Do they go on the circumstances or do they go on the shepherd? Are you a sheep? One author says that the most beloved chapter in the Bible is not Psalm 23, but Romans chapter 8. So you'll have to take that up with Boyce in heaven to debate him on that. But I want to end the sermon. Now, I haven't put you to sleep yet. I don't see anybody snoring. Praise God. I'm going to end the sermon with what Paul has to say about being with our shepherd. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Doesn't that sound kind of familiar with the Belgic Confession? Didn't we just kind of cover that there? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did Paul, in that statement, declare that Jesus is his shepherd? My question to you is that your declaration? Is Jesus your shepherd? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we do thank you for sending your only begotten Son into the world, and that he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That he is the abiding, resurrected, ascended, reigning King, Shepherd King. And he is gathering us as his flock, one flock. Thank you, Lord, for that statement that Jesus made in the gospel account, that other sheep have I to gather, and we are those whom you are gathering. So we thank you that we are included in that flock. We pray that you would enable us, O Lord, to follow you, to fix our eyes upon you, and to follow you through the journey of this life, trusting you, looking to you, finding in you the grace we need to walk day by day, following our shepherd. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.